last night was one of those nights when there was no, I mean, it was just, and it was, it had to do with the idea of moral absolutes. And it, and the second half of it was being responsible for the consequences of your actions. Well, that's not the right way to put it, but anyway. The other thing that I want to talk about, I wish that Pam and Doug and the Rutledges were here, but I need to talk about it anyway. And that is what we did Sunday night, and when we declared that the bodies or the foundation's plans are declared null and void as the dust of the earth. The reason that God talks about forsaking your evil thoughts and your evil ways all the time is that they are limiting. Whether they're positive or negative, either way, they're obviously limiting. You can obviously see the effect is if you think of something or you're confronted with a stimulus and because of previous history, you say, I can't do that, or I will fail if I attempt to do that, you can see that obviously that's going to, that's something that's not effective in terms of, you know, that's what all these how-to books and the subliminal crap that they're starting to advertise on television to try to get rid of the negative information that you have within you, including all of it. But there's, so you can see with strength how the negatives are limiting. But it's more difficult to see how the positives or the planning of how you're going to accomplish X, Y, Z is limiting. And the reason it's so limiting is because it removes the activity from the spiritual realm. You understand? The moment that your mind defines the way of accomplishment, then your accomplishment or your activity is no longer spiritual. No matter what it is, I don't care if it's a plan to evangelize the world, if it's a plan to for you to become a better person, if it's a plan for you to do anything, the moment you do that as an individual, then you remove yourself from the spiritual realm and you put yourself into the law of entropy because you've denied that you've been resurrected unto a lively hope. Do you all understand this? Because you do it so automatically, you don't even probably understand what I'm talking about.
It's part of it that you, once you do that, you automatically get into that thing we talked about, well, I guess when we were talking about usury, about the idea that you come up with the objective and the plan to accomplish the objective, then in your mind you've done it.
No, that's an effect of it, but that's not what I'm talking about.
What's entropy?
Entropy means that everything denigrates. It's the second law of thermodynamics in the universe that that nothing in itself and of itself can ever create anything greater than itself. Yeah, let me see if I can explain it in a different, approach it from a different angle.
Somehow it sounds like the building of the tabernacle is a good example where nobody knew how it was going to go together.
One of the readings for everybody, does everybody have a Bible?
Okay, nothing, what did you say, nothing?
In itself or of itself can ever create anything greater than itself.
Can't even sustain itself, can it?
No.
Otherwise, like perpetual motion would
happen. Yeah. Isaiah 55.
Isaiah
55. Isaiah 55, 6, and this is a weird way this is, but the reading for, one of the readings for the Fast of Thomas is Isaiah 55, 6 through Isaiah 56, 8. Keep your hand in Isaiah and go to Zechariah chapter 8. The Fast of Tammuz is the beginning of the destruction of the Jerusalem that now is. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever really comprehended this, but there is a heavenly Jerusalem. And in the heavenly Jerusalem is all of life, all of your heart's desires, all of your hopes and dreams. It's your reason for existence. It's your It's the fulfillment of your destiny. It's, you know, you understand, you got that. You know enough about it to know that. The only thing that keeps you or anyone else on the face of the earth, no matter what they call themselves, from the heavenly Jerusalem, from the fulfillment then of their hopes and their dreams and their sense of destiny and their sense of peace and everything else, is because they have created or attempted to create their Jerusalem on earth. I mean, that, you understand, that's the only thing that prevents the fullness of the grace of God from being manifested, is that you have created or attempted to create an alternate way of having hopes fulfilled, dreams, ambitions, etc., etc., etc. And that state that you are creating or attempting to create is called the Jerusalem that now is. And I don't care if people have never heard of the word Jerusalem. It's what everybody does. It's what the street people do in that have given up hope and are living on the street because they haven't really given up hope. It's what Reagan is doing in the White House. It's what Ross Perot is doing. It's what everybody's doing. Some are better at it than others, but fundamentally, everybody is creating an alternate to the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, you still think that the heavenly Jerusalem will be manifested when you get it right, when you understand, when you know, any one of a thousand things. Therefore, that means that you are still desiring to be under the law. You understand me? Does that make sense? The law is the way a thing works and your judgments about it. Now, the only way, I mean, this is so basic that it's hard for us to understand it, that you have never had an original thought. You have only had a thought that came from the Jerusalem that now is. In a how can I say it? The great examples are like the Assembly of God Church, okay? The Assembly of God's Jerusalem that now is, the place where the law is given out, the place, or the Catholic Church in Rome, is Rome or Springfield, Missouri. That's the physical manifestation of the Jerusalem that now is. Now, everybody that names the name of either a Catholic or a Assembly of God, or they're constructing the Jerusalem that now is in their minds, either in agreement with or in opposition to the place, either Springfield or Rome. If you're a Muslim, it's in response to the thing that you've created in your mind is either in opposition to or in agreement with Mecca. If you're a yoga, it's the thing you create is either in opposition to or in agreement with the ashram of the particular yoga that you follow. If it's corporately, it's if you're in a branch office of electronic data systems and you're in Thailand, then EDS in Dallas is the Jerusalem that now is. And you create your environment, your Jerusalem, either in response to or in opposition to that which now is. Now, within that Jerusalem, there's a spiritual component, there's a natural component, there's the residence, there is all the things that are necessary for life as you understand it are what you created. Now, even the rebels that do it, they do the same thing, because they're creating their Jerusalem in their mind in opposition to what the Jerusalem that now is. So do you understand that there is a true Jerusalem, which is the overriding reality, which is available instantly as long as the veil of flesh is ripped. There is the Jerusalem that has a component external to you as an individual. And then your response to that natural one is what you created, and you call that your identity, your being, your personality, your spiritual life, your natural life. You got it? But you are not capable of creating anything original. You are only creating a world in these walls that is in agreement with or in opposition to the Jerusalem that now is that you were born into. There is no right Jerusalem that now is that for anybody. That's why God says, my ways are not your ways. If you want to come into that which is life, you must forsake your way and your thought. Otherwise, you are still worshiping and being concerned with Ishmael. You are just another Ishmael. You are born of the flesh. There's no promise to you. You understand? You all say you either by silence or by, I mean, you understand that you've never had an original thought?
I don't know how you know that. I mean, not you. I've thought about that a lot, but there's no way to tell other than
what?
Whether your thoughts are original or not. I mean, you think they are because you never thought them before, or you never heard them before, so they seem original.
But they're only in either in opposition to or in agreement with your Jerusalem.
I don't understand the connection between them being original and that. I mean, can they be original within your own little sphere?
Well, that doesn't make them original. Can't be original. They may be something that you, it's new to you.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking, that if it's new, it's only from God's point of view, nothing is new or, you know.
No, it's not. No, I'm not talking about from God's point of view. I'm talking about from your point of view. You kid yourself if you think you've had an original thought. That gives you life.
Yeah, well, I guess if you've never heard it before or anything, and all of a sudden you get a thought that's new to you, that's the same as original in your own little mind. Though maybe 1,000 people have thought it before. I mean, but what's the difference?
Okay. Let me approach from a different standpoint, because from appearance, you've heard all kinds of original stuff from my mouth. You've never heard it before.
Yeah.
The only way that it has any power is if it's the thought of the New Jerusalem. I didn't invent it. I mean, there's nothing I have that I didn't receive. I therefore can't glory in it. There's nothing you have that you didn't receive. But you love to glory in it. Now, the only reason I want us to get back to the idea of plans. That's what we're coming at.
Was there ever an original thought?
No.
Now, Adam didn't have an original thought.
Except for God.
Is that then what that's saying is God gave all thought?
Yeah, but that's that you can buy.
Yeah.
You know, that you can still buy well, and get glory.
Is there an original thought that isn't creation?
What?
Is there an original thought that isn't, you know, something out of nothing? I mean, that could be the only original thought, is if it created something that had never been before, right? Everything else is in reference to something that already is. Or a response to something that already is, right?
This is one of the big, great philosophical questions, but let me try to explain it simply.
Oh, well. That'd be real simple for us.
Larry asked a great philosophical question.
It wasn't new, though.
The first time I thought of it?
This, if, for the sake of discussion, this thing is enveloped. This thing that's enveloped in a barrier that can't be penetrated, and nothing in it can get out, nothing out can get in. That's called, by definition, a closed system. Okay? This closed system right here is everything in time and space. Nothing in time and space can get in or can get out.
Nothing outside of time can get into time and space.
Nothing outside of time and space can get in. Nothing inside of time can get out. Now, that's why Christ
had to be born from a, that's why he had the tabernacle in flesh.
He had to get into the system.
He had to get in here. The only way that he could get in here to accomplish the plan of God was the mystery, was that he had to penetrate as a sperm cell that egg. There's only one, I mean, that's it. That's why Jesus said no one can go to the Father unless he's come from the Father. Now, within this system, nothing can be old or new by definition. Am I communicating?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you will enter into the lie of our society.
If it's there, it's always
which
there.
The lie of our society believes in the social Darwinianism or the evolution of thought.
Yeah, this is my question a minute ago that I didn't ask was, what's the problem with having an original thought? What if I had one? What would that make me?
Make you God.
So believing that I do have an original thought is the proof that I believe that I'm...
You believe that you are God. That's the reason you resent so terribly the idea that you've never had an original thought.
Yeah.
Because if you have been all your life raised to be God, which you have, and all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, your gut recognizes, well, if I've never had original thought, then I'm not God.
So to accept that time and space is a closed system means to accept the second law of thermodynamics. It means to accept what you just said.
Okay. And to accept it. It also, if you can see it,
a lot of stuff.
It also, if you can see it, means the stupidity of plants.
Your Jerusalem, every, I mean, do you understand me that every human being on the face of the earth is the temple? Now, I don't care about what they label themselves, that's just sorcery anyway. Every human being on the face of the earth is the temple. Every human being on the face of the earth is spirit. We've developed language and we've developed the ability to plan or have it so that we can reject the idea that we are spirit.
Looking for an old thought. Looking for an old thought to understand this. Oh.
Now, the fast of Tammuz, the reason we're doing this is because unless you understand that you are a walled city, that is the false Jerusalem that now is, that contains the false Jerusalem that now is, you will never understand why the fast of Tammuz and why the fast of Ab are necessary. You'll just think they're a stupid thing that you have to sort of endure. The fast of Tammuz celebrates the breaking of the wall of the false Jerusalem. Don't you in your heart of hearts believe things are going to get better tomorrow? If you didn't believe things would be, by your definition, either better or acceptable or something, if you didn't believe that, you would kill yourself. I think I'm talking to the wall.
Well, experientially they are. What? I mean, they are better.
What?
Today is better than what it was a year ago. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the way you feel about it. No. You don't look back and say, you know, I wish that was, you know, these were the good times. I mean, maybe there are some points, I mean, that maybe through indoctrination or whatever, you know, we look. You know, I don't know. I just don't.
Let me try to put it another way.
Well, I need to respond too. The preaching has so come against our thinking of that at least none of us are stupid enough to say we think like that anymore.
Larry just did.
Well, I mean, it seems now is better than yesterday, and nothing but. You know, but I, you know, there's. I mean, that's the sense. I mean, it's not a quantitative kind of thing, but that is the sense that you have.
The question, though, is do you think tomorrow is going to be better than today? And if you're thinking that, that's what you're talking about.
Look,
even though I agree that things are better now than they were a year ago. I can't remember that far back.
I mean, that's the sense. I mean, you don't... I mean, what's... but there's no difference in that and thinking that there's... I mean, I've spent years thinking... tomorrow's going to be worse than we were fucked up than today.
Well, isn't...
I don't know.
Isn't the statement, like, for instance, you just said, the fast of Tammuz is the breaking of the hole in the wall of the Jerusalem that now is, and that, in 21 days, leads to the seeing of the desolation, or abomination of desolation. Isn't that... doesn't that statement, by definition, contain the implication that when things get... worse by the hole in the wall, it'll actually be better, and when the abomination of desolation is seen, things will be better, and yeah, when I decrease and he increases, things will be better. I mean, I don't know what things will be better means, but isn't that...
Look. Just take a look at you a minute. Just physically look at yourself. Look at any part of you, your hands or your foot or your knee, or look. I'm serious. Now, that is the only thing that's happening is that you are getting old and you're going to die. It's going to go away and it's going to rot and maggots are going to come and you're going to die. Now, in the spirit, you're already dead. But that's the only thing. That's the only thing of value that's going to happen. That wasn't true from the very beginning. I mean, the only thing that can happen to you is that you will see what was true 2,000 years ago or 8,000 years ago. Or 1,000,000 years ago, or 10 billion years ago. You understand? There's nothing that can happen to you. All you know of you, really, no matter how much is the talk and the preaching comes against you, is you know about you as this being that moves and walks and does stuff. Well, and so you have perceptions that base themselves on the way you feel. Now, the way you feel is you're going to die. You're going to get old. You're going to get ugly. You're going to die. That's the only thing that's going to happen in the future. You're not going to get any better. You're not going to change. You're not going to get whiz-bang spiritual. You're going to die. Your kids are going to die. Your kids are going to... some of them may grow up to be thieves and murderers. Some of them may grow up to be dope addicts. Some of them may grow up to be prostitutes. And then they're going to die. All the things
Your wife is going to get sick and die. You're... Do you understand me?
But the point, I mean, what do you
things aren't going to get better.
What do you mean? I mean, you're going to enjoy the time you spend with your kids. You're going to enjoy the time you spend with in fellowship. You know, you're going to die. Okay. I mean, that happens to everything. In this, but I don't understand what you're... There's a point you're going towards, and I'm...
If you knew you were going to die...
Well, I wouldn't kill myself.
You wouldn't make any plans. Remember, that's what... The predicate of this is to forsake your way and your thoughts. I mean...
It's like everything is the denial of death.
Yeah, you hear that? You understand me? It would be impossible for you to make plans... If you knew you were going to die in 3 seconds. The only reason you make plans is to make things better. Either to make yourself feel better, or to make your situation more comfortable, or to make something about yours better. So you make plans to accomplish it.
Well, it's just like decorating the walled city to make it look better. To make it a happier place to be.
You know, I think I'm talking to...
Well, I've got a question. I'm still hung up on things aren't going to get better. I don't know what that phrase means. Things are going to get better or aren't. But... they're certainly going to change.
Well, the point is that you don't care. You don't project out what it's going to be.
Well, okay. That's the key. Well, it's not...
Yeah, but it's not that you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's that you can't do that. And that when you begin to do that... You see it as total and complete stupidity. There's got to be a revolution that takes place within this vessel, and you as vessels, so that you will totally and completely see that which is the enemy of faith is not just to be thrown aside, but yet you long after it. That's like, as we've talked about before, you know, that's like putting a muzzle on a pit bull and saying he's cured. All that does is give you a pit bull that wants to bite your leg off with a muzzle on. And you then, either by your teaching or by your attitudes to the people that you're teaching, or if you're Levites, you then influence them, the people that you're supposed to be serving, you serve them with a lie. You understand me? You serve them. The lie you serve them denies the new, the old, the new, the thing that's the overriding, everything that you...
Yeah, you can either serve them with truth or the lie in any given instance. You're speaking more just directly about if you're taking thought for tomorrow, if you're doing any kind of planning, if you're not seeing that life only exists in each moment as it happens, if you're preaching or teaching or exemplifying any other thought or position or way, then you're perpetuating not the gospel but the law or something like
that. The Antichrist.
You said if I knew that I was going to die in 3 seconds, it would be impossible. I want to grab onto that for a minute, because I'm not understanding what you're saying. I feel like the idiot in school who's just totally, I mean, this is, my greatest fear is where I am right now. I don't know what in the hell you're talking about. So I'm grasping. But is the problem of thinking things are going to get better, is the problem the belief that this moment is going to be extended, that time is going to continue, that there is a, there is some place out here where things will be different? It's not the fact that things will be different, it's the fact that there's a place out here that will exist. It's, that there's anything beyond this, this.
It's the idea that let's try reading Zechariah, and maybe that will help us. Do you understand that the place, just for this, the sake of discussion, you understand the place of the New Jerusalem? It's in a spiritual place called Mount Zion. You got that? Mount Zion doesn't need to be built. It never has needed to be built. It never has been anything other than everything. All right. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. All that we are beginning to experience in these last few weeks of what you have, or some people have discerned as heavy duty preaching, is the jealousy of God, down to the slightest instant. In us, we are so completely caught up in paganism that it is impossible. We, as I said Sunday night, we judge our success or our failure based on the pagan value system. And so it's like the fox is guarding the hen house. Because we're not going to do this wild. You know, who in the hell could possibly believe that me glancing at tomorrow, okay, I'm going to sit down and figure out how to do this.
Yeah. So we're at the end. Yeah. I can feel it. Now you talk.
Yeah. I am jealous over Zion with great jealousy and with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Now, you got to be faced with something here. No matter how in the hell much I've ever talked to you about the stupidity of dispensationalism and about the stupidity of the belief that they're going to go over there and build that, and that's the place where all the world's going to go and present themselves in the Feast of Tabernacles in that stupid little country or that stupid little place on the face of the earth, you still believe it. If you didn't believe it, you would know that it's now.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundations of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. That's the definition of a teacher, of a father position. You were there with him from the beginning. You understand? I write unto you fathers because you have known him from the beginning. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will be unto, I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, the heaven shall give their due, and I'll cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. And it shall come to pass that as you were accursed among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil against evil in your heart against his neighbor, and have or love no false oath. For all these are the things that I hate, saith the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy, and the word joy there means unbelievable joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Now, we spent a lot of time recently talking about oath. I want you to see that any plan that you make is an oath. Now, it's been all right to do that. You've been like children that are sitting around and, you know, like, you know, when Sarah said, I made the trees, I made the sun, I made me, I made the house. That's fine. When she sits down and thinks about all these great things that she's going to think about and plan and do, that's fine. That's not fine for you. Well, then how do I live? How is it possible to live in this evil and perverse generation without planning? How is it possible that we as a foundation can exist without planning? Let's go to Isaiah now. 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. In other words,
Another way of saying that same thing is in Hebrews it says, exhort one another daily while it is still called today. I mean, when it's not called today anymore, then he can't be found anymore. The night has already come. No man can work. All we can do is grope in the darkness and pray that his glory will fill the temple. You can't get there wherever there is. You can't get there by the work of your hands. You can't get there by the work of your mind. You can't get there by any other way other than the fact that if he isn't in this, if he isn't the light in the temple, then I'm lost. No. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Now, you that's not going to mean anything until you understand that you are the wicked. Otherwise, you'll do what Harry's been doing, taking the name of the Lord in vain. He's been applying the word of Jesus Christ to his flesh. You understand? Let the unrighteous man, his thought. Well, you're not going to forsake your thoughts until you know you're the unrighteous man. The wicked one is what it says. Let the wicked one forsake his way. The wicked one is this. Let the unrighteous man his way. That's you. This says there is no way and no thought that you can do that has, from this moment forward, any merit. There's an interesting reason why. Because from now on, there's a different mechanism taking place. As long as the kernel of wheat had fallen into the ground and was still below the surface of the ground, then God didn't care if you played all these games because you were going a particular way anyway. You were automatically, by nature, the from that broken vessel, from that broken seed, from the chaff and the crust rotted away from the seed, you were working automatically up towards the light until there's a break in the ground. Now, because you're not constrained by the dirt, and you have the appearance that there is light everywhere, you as a kernel of wheat must always seek straight up. If you try to go and follow the sun, you're going to get destroyed. Now, when that blade breaks the surface of the ground, now you must forsake your thoughts and your ways. Because there's no more dirt around you to constrain you. All you'll do now, if you do it by your way and your thoughts, is you'll try to follow what you can see. Because now there's light. Now you can say, hallelujah, God is all and in all. My God, he's all over the place. You understand?
I was thinking that.
Now listen. I don't want to hear what you're thinking. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous his thought. Let him return totally unto the Lord, is what it says, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be unto the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, for you, for the first time, you no longer speak the words of God. You are the Word of God. I mean, it's like,
I came in thinking about a new level. I just didn't know what it looked like. That it was.
Did it make sense about this idea of the, that that's what it means to become the young man, is when you come out of the ground? You could get by with that. Now the idea, what you've left behind is what you, it's just what's gone into the dump. Left behind is your way and your thought. Now you can be the Word of God. Because it's not interfered by with your word.
Sitting here thinking about the kid, you know, this whole idea of the kids becoming something unpleasant, you know, in one way or another. And the, which I would rather have, would I rather have Angie or any of them happy and successful and fulfilled and distant and unhearing and, you know, all that, or would I rather have them, you know, if there was a choice, or would I rather have them bottomed out and
broken,
whatever,
and trying.
And broken, and there actually be fellowship there. In other words, would I rather have them be a failure or success after the world's idea? And there's not even that's not even a question.
You know, throughout all of your lives, you've been broken 10,000 times. And broken is failure. At the point of brokenness, and it could be failure in relationships, any kind of failure, failure in business, failure in you thinking what you should do or whatever, failure in health. You got an option at the point, at every time, I mean, you go through intersection, broken, failure, and then you can run around and do all kinds of stuff. Now, as long as, you know, when you're young and strong and in your youth, you can be broken and be a failure. And, you know, you run around and God determinedly puts all these obstacles and causes you to fail. Then you obstinately and determinedly forge on ahead, and you call it something good.
Determination,
willpower, stick-to-itiveness, all you. Well, finally, then you get tired of being broken, because no matter what you do, you get broken again.
If you're lucky.
No, you always get broken, you just don't admit it. You just act, I mean, you know it in your privateness. But you see, the one option leads back. Another option leads to the New Jerusalem. All the time. Then you come and you finally, sometimes you get broken and contrite. broken and contrite means, oh shit, I can't do anything. Contrite, broken can be with tears. Contrite is when I don't think there's anything else I can do and without hope. Well, again then, you're without hope for a minute and then you go back and then you have to go through broken again and contrite again. You understand me?
You're still in the dark.
Yeah, you're in a circle.
But no, I'm not talking about anything optional. This is just you're still gonna come back to that, right? Hallelujah, praise God, I found the Lord Jesus. And I'm gonna pray. So you still go through the same shit. You become broken and you're a failure. Now, the only difference now is once you've got here, it's easy to be contrite because now it's expected of you. Okay, broken, contrite, prayer. Hallelujah, that's the ticket. I got it now. I got the answer and everything's going to be good and we can make a big church and call it Church in the Rock or something. Teach people how to get stuff from God. Well, it's going to fail. Then, well, now we got all kinds of options. Now we can go charismatic. Now we can go different churches. Now we can, you know, do all kinds of stuff. Change your letters. But it doesn't matter. You'll either end up in Jerusalem or at another option whereby you have to go back over here again and start a broken, failure, contrite prayer again. You understand me? Until finally, through jillions and jillions and jillions of this cycle, till there are no more options, because I guarantee you, this is the last option. You don't want anything to do with this option. What?
Well, as you were talking, what I thought about was a false type of supplication is whenever, like, come over here and I give you some little bit of insight, and that's offering it out there. That's putting your head in the kind of the lion's mouth, but it's for self, you know, it's totally for self, and for us, that doesn't.
We're getting to that.
But that's what happens.
Oh, yeah, but you see what happens here now. You finally, then you break through and you get to supplication. Now, see, you still have that.
Yeah, because even in prayer.
Because at supplication, you always put the thing in. Okay, I'm going to put my family in. Or I'm going to put my little finger in. Do with me as you will about this.
Do with it as you will.
Or do with something. Do with my, you know. It's always, because you see, it has to repeat the same pattern. It has to go through all the optional, all possible prayers if you go through this process. Now that's why the trial of faith is more precious, because the trial of faith is a bunch of shit. But then you finally come to the point where the supplication isn't putting something, it's putting your head in the mouth of the lion. Now, the head in the mouth of the lion, now the government is on his shoulders. Now, you'll pray and you'll be broken and all that, but you'll stay, because he's not going to take his mouth off you. Now, for those of you that are priests and Levites, that's your only option. You can't be anything other than in that position if you're going to be a priest or a Levite. That's why I'm far harder on you than I am on anybody else.
Well, that's the way this revelation sits there in that head. You know, I just don't want to supplicate. I just from what has just happened, just from what I just know, of having something revealed, that's not something that, I mean, it's something that besides supplication, it's lording it or something. That's,
yeah, and besides that, every point, this is the one that kills you. This pisses you off till you can't even spit. Every point in every one of these options is bad news.
mean, it's terrible news. I had great plans for the foundation.
I mean, go all the way back to my beginning of the walk with God. I mean, I went through 5 years of this shit before I ever met you guys. I talked to you. Well, Alexis came over, just wiped out. You know, because, you know, she finally saw. It's not surprising to be. She can, you know, it's not surprising to be screwed up. You know, it's just, I'm glad you pushed here last night. So, but I mean, you know, that's why it says think it. I mean, when you see this, it says think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial that's come upon you to try me. Now, the trial only gets to be really hot, really fire. This is just God's blowing on you over here. The trial or the baptism of fire can only start at that point. But at this point, all of a sudden the baptism of fire feels like cool mist. Remember, that's what we're going to study when we read
the inside of the fire.
It's inside of the fire, the fiery furnace. Because, I mean, you don't have any more, you know, your brokenness has come so complete, there's no more options. Failure has become so total, it's obvious to everybody. Mm-hmm. Contrite is, you know, for a long, long time you manipulate with contrite. I mean, you don't admit that to yourself, but that's what you do.
And then start manipulating the prayer.
Just as a guess, I'll bet that's at the end, those where the greatest power of the soul is, though, because of what the Buddhas and those people can do, because they go through each one of these other stages too.
Yeah.
And so that's
where the greatest temptation is.
Oh, yeah. What you mean?
That's where you can do tricks.
Yeah, the tricks. Because the greatest soul power is after all those other.
Yeah, after the shell is gone.
I don't know how, but something has come screamingly clear tonight, and that is sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's come very clear tonight.
Good.
I don't know how.
That's good.
Yeah, clear. Was that taken, big guy?
Yeah.
I heard that.